You know, I often speak about how women must do habits differently, and one of the biggest reasons why is simply biology. In other words, hormones. Our hormones are a real factor to how we feel physically, mentally, and emotionally, and they constantly change day to day and year to year as we age. My friends warned me that the hormone roller coaster gets harder as we get older, and they were right. From worse PMS to more aggravating period symptoms to all the things that come with perimenopause and menopause. If you're wanting help with that hormone roller coaster, I want you to check out today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth, and their supplement, Hormone Harmony, a bottle of which is sold every 24 seconds with over 17,000 reviews. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible perimenopause and menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and so much more. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. If you want to feel more like yourself, make sure you go to Happy Mammoth and find Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PROGRESS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PROGRESS for 15% off today. Hi, I'm Monica Packer, and you're listening to How Do You, a monthly series where I interview real women from our community on how they're making progress in their own hobbies, passions, and pursuits. I have such a delightful How Do You episode for you today. I am speaking with Paige Erickson. She is the leader or conductor, I guess you could say, of the Timpanogos Ringers. If you don't know what that means, then this is a good place for you to start because she's going to share about her choir that she started. And it's not just any choir, it's a handbell choir. Paige tells us the history of how she got into being in a handbell choir herself, and one that was very large and important. But after their quote-unquote retirement age, she started her own local handbell choir and how it's going. If you are interested in doing this yourself, you're going to learn from Paige on how to do that. And if you also want to join in with her choir, you can do that as well. Before I officially share our conversation, I do want to let you know that as part of it, Paige talked about this free concert that will be happening soon. And the details for that are, it's Saturday, April 20th at 7 p.m. at the St. Mark's Cathedral in Salt Lake City. And I'm going to be there with my family, and I hope to see you there. Again, it's free, April 20th. You can always go to her Instagram account that she will share as part of the interview to find out more information. All right, let's share this wonderful conversation with Paige Erickson. This is one of my favorite things to do. One, because I learned so much. And two, because I suddenly have a new hobby that I have to do. And this is one of those things that I already know ahead of time, I'm going to want to do this thing. But before we get ahead of ourselves, I'm your next recruit. Can you give us a little introduction?
Sure. My name is Paige. I have 5 kids. I have 2 grandkids. I live in Highland. I love to travel. I love to plan travel. I love to play handbells. I love K-dramas. I have 18 chickens and a 3-legged cat.
Oh, this is so fun.
So, yeah, we have a little farm. So,
oh, amazing.
And I am the director of the Timpanogos Ringers. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Timpanogos Ringers, right?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I love the name even. Well, you're going to talk to us about this handbell choir that you direct and how you got into it. So let's start with a little bit of a setting. Can you give us some background on how you got into handbell choir in general, but also how you ended up directing one too?
So I played handbells in high school. I played 1 year. Our high school got some bells. And it was my senior year, and I was like, okay, I'll do this. And then I had fun, and I thought that was the end of it. And then 5, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir started up a bell choir. And my high school teacher was going to be the director of that choir. So some friends and I from high school, we were like, well, we have to go and go see Mr. Wilder and we have to go audition. And it was totally intimidating. There were like 200 people doing the audition and they had 25 spots or something. And somehow I made it in. And so I was in the Bells on Temple Square, which is life-changing experience. And I did that for 14 years until I reached the age that they make you retire.
So, oh, dang. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, there's a retirement age. So when that happened, I was like, I need to still play bells. I need to do something with handbells. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, hey, well, let's just start our own handbell choir, which is kind of a crazy idea. But so that's kind of how that came about and where I was at the time. So that was that I retired from Bells on Temple Square and then started this choir.
So I'm curious about Bells on Temple Square. Did you get to travel different places? Tell some of your favorite experiences from that.
We don't travel like the choir, but we did go to the National Handbell Convention in 2017, I think, and it was in California. So we all flew there and they have to take all the bells and the setup and the tables, and we don't travel light. So they had a truck that took all the bells and then we flew and got to perform there. But mostly we did like two big concerts a year, spring concert and then Christmas concert. And then the Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir, we would do that. And then any other music in the spoken words that they invited us to, we would be on. So it was a pretty big commitment.
Sounds like it.
And so much fun. Just, I loved most every second. It was just amazing. So thankful that I got to be a part of that.
So with this, were there certain bells that you specialized in? I mean, like, did you have a couple of notes that were totally yours or different types?
So there's low bass, we call it the battery, which is kind of the middle. And then there's treble and high treble. And they all kind of use different skills. So I'm pretty much in the mid to the high range. I don't have like specific bells that are always mine, but I have favorites.
Ooh.
So each, like different songs, you can go to different bells or switch out. So I don't know.
What's your favorite belt?
My favorite position is probably A5, B5. I don't know if that means anything.
It sounds like a robot, but it works for me. A5, B5.
I could show you, but
cool. Yeah. A lot of people who are listening and like, I played handbells in high school, or I've always wanted to do that. And maybe I could just start it in my community. So how about you tell us the answer to our main question? And it's, how do you end up directing a handbell choir?
So it's been a learning experience for me. I thought, okay, we're going to get some funding, get some bells, and there we'll go. And I applied for grants and things. And in most of the world outside of Utah, handbell choirs are part of churches. So they ask their congregation to donate, or they get some rich donor who will buy some bells for them, or maybe their church already has bells. Or in Utah, a lot of handbell choirs are in schools. And so they get their choir kids to sell candy bars or get a grant from whatever. But if you're a community choir in Highland, Utah, and you try and get funding, it was not easy. I'll just say that. I applied for all these grants and I wrote letters to businesses. And I mean, I did get some donation, but not like, I just thought people would throw money at me. I was like, oh, sure. Of course, you want to start a choir. Here's some money. Buy some bells. Well, people are not very generous with their money. So
this makes me want to be like, where's the handbell choir?
I know. We haven't found the right art loving generous sponsor yet, but
okay,
maybe they are listening. Out there.
Yeah, maybe they're listening. So then, and how did you fund it?
So I had some money saved up. I talked to my husband. I was like, I really want to do this. Let's buy some bells.
Amazing.
And so we bought a 2-octave used set from eBay and had to do some refurbishing and things like that. And then eventually we got a little bit more and a little bit more. Now we have a 3.5-octave set and we're trying to go for the whole 4th octave. But the bigger the bells, the more they cost.
I bet, yeah.
So as we go lower bells, they're like $1,000 each.
Oh.
And so, or more.
Yes.
What we want. So we're starting at like 900 and going bigger the lower you go. So it may take some time to get lower bells. But then you have to recruit the people.
Well, that's what I was going to ask next. Well, first, though, I just want to commend you for being so you were generously your own sponsor, you know, which is so cool that you would do that. Then how did you get people to join this handbell choir?
Well, again, I thought everyone's going to want to do this because it's amazing. And why wouldn't they? And so we put like some feelers out and put it on our community arts council, said, come and join this choir and do this fun thing. And my first rehearsal, I had 2 people. Show up. And I was like, well, you're great, but that's not enough. And I came home and I was like, I was probably crying. I don't know. The next week I talked to more friends. Hey, come do this thing. Come try. And people would say, well, I don't know how to play bells. I'd say, I'll teach you everything you need to know. If you can count, if you can read music, that's a plus. And I'll take you. So I recruited my husband. And I think my words were, I just need someone to carry the boxes. And you don't even have to play. And he carried the boxes in and helped set up. And then he started to learn to play. So he's in my choir. My sister is in my choir. She's been with me for these years. Some people in my neighborhood. I've had a few core group of people that have been with us like the whole time. And but that's also a challenge, is keeping people. Because even though they may want to do this, not everybody has time for a once a week rehearsal and whatever concerts I tell them we have to do. So that's a challenge, is keeping people. Because every time we have a new season, I'll lose a couple people. And then I have to get new people and train them. And I wish I could keep everyone and we could just grow and grow and grow. But it's always a constant, let's start over, let's teach you what to do. But it's fun. I've met amazing people, so I love it.
So the perks are you've met amazing people. How about performing? Like, do you have to find places that are interested in handbell choirs? Do you join local orchestras? Or how do you get into the performing side of it?
That's a good question. We have a local arts council and they let us use their space to rehearse. And also we try and do 2 concerts a year there in their building. And it's small. It's a really small little building, but as a gift to the community. And then we have other people at Christmas time, especially everyone wants us to come and play for us. And so we have to turn down just because we just don't have, I mean, I would love to do all the performances, but it's Christmas time and we don't have much time. So we have done
feast or famine with the opportunities.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so sometimes we'll play at retirement homes. We have done like tree lighting ceremonies outside, and that's a challenge. And different ward parties, or we have different things we played at the Festival of Trees. In fact, our very first performance was at the Festival of Trees. I don't know if you've been there, but they have different stages. And so we were like in the north stage, and luckily no one was really there to see us except a few people. It was a disaster. It was the worst.
Really?
Performance. Oh, and we it was our very, very first thing.
Yeah.
We weren't ready. I forgot to even bring a music stand. It was just, we got lost.
Mm-hmm.
It was just laughable how bad we were.
Can you laugh about it now, or does it still make you sad?
No, I can totally laugh about it. We laugh about it all the time. The people that were there. luckily, that was a wake-up call, like, oh, you guys, mm-hmm. we really need to get it together, because we had another thing coming up in a week. And so we've done better at the Festival of Trees since then. But it kind of tucked away, and people are really there to see the trees, and any performance is kind of background. And so they didn't know that we were falling apart.
But it's still one of those like resume builders, you know, that you can say we perform at the Festival of Trees, you know, so
that's
kind of your,
that's right,
your name, your foot in the door. Okay. Yeah. So Paige, for people who are interested in joining a handbell choir, how do they even go about doing that?
So I tell people you don't have to have experience. If you can read music, then you could play bells. Anybody that can lift a bell can play handbells. It's counting. It's reading. This is what the music looks like. It's just like regular music, but the chords are big because you're not limited by your hand. So you could have like this chord over here. Like how many notes are in that?
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. And so, to describe it, it looks like, you know, when someone's playing like five fingers at once and... But it's like more like seven.
But so, you're not limited by your fingers or your hand space. So but it looks like regular piano music. There's special notations that are different things for bells. But anybody can play handbells if you can count. You, as a handbell ringer, you're responsible for like two notes, like a D and an E. And then you have the sharps and the flats that go with those. And so your D flat, you're going to share with your person that's just the sharp. So you share those notes, but you would be like D and E. So on the staff, you're looking at this line in this space. And yeah, you can see all the other things that are going on, but really this is what you're looking at here. So as long as you can count your notes, and sometimes you go a while without playing. And those are the worst times when you're like, oh, I have 16 measures and I forgot to count. Oh, yes. Where am I? So, but there's a lot of things that you can do with handbells, and there's little notations for those that to make the different sounds. There's, you can use a mallet. You can do a staccato with your finger on the bell that makes a short sound. You can pluck the note on the table. You can like do it's called a martellato, where you kind of thump the bell onto the pad. You can ring lift, you can circle it around your head, you can do a tower. So there's like all these things that have little notations in the music of how the composer wants you to play it, that are different, specific to handbells. So that's,
if you've
fun.
Got the curiosity, you've got the desire, you can read music, then you can play handbells. Should they go to their local art council? I mean, I'm just thinking about, how do they find the choir?
Depending on, so we're in Utah County. There's a couple choirs in Utah County, and there's a few in Salt Lake County. But yeah, you could just look up Bell Choir Utah County. We're the Timpanogos Swingers. Like every season I'll have people come and say, oh, I have always wanted to learn to play bells. And I'll say, come and join us. Or just a couple weeks ago, we performed at one of our ringers' church. We just did a little thing in their meeting, and this lady came and she said, how do you do that? And they said, well, come join us on Wednesday night. And I kind of feel bad. She came and we just put her in a space, and we didn't take a lot of time to go over some of the foundational things because we didn't have time, because we've already started our season and we're working towards some concert things. And so she was a little overwhelmed, and she was a little older, and she said, I don't think this is for me. And I said, oh, just come back another week. I tell everyone, just always give it 2 weeks before you say, I can't do it. Maybe 3 weeks. Because it's hard when you start.
Sure.
And just people, they get overwhelmed and they're like, I don't know if I can do this. And I say, just give it a little time. You'll get better. You're doing great. But anyway, we are always looking for new people. We do a season in the spring, like from January till May-ish, and then we take the summer off usually, and then we'll start in August or September for our Christmas season. to get things ready for that. We have a concert coming up in April. April 20th, we will be at St. Mark's Cathedral in Salt Lake, which I'm super excited for. I've always wanted to play somewhere that has stained glass windows.
Yes, that's kind of a weird thing, but
So we just kind of reached out to them and said, hey, could we do a concert there? And they said yes. So we are going to play
awesome, Paige.
In their services on Sunday, and then we're going to do a concert there on Saturday.
So people who are local to Utah, they can come and watch this. And I really hope I'm going to look at the date and hopefully I can make it myself because I think my kids would love this as well. If you could go back in time, what is one thing you would do differently?
Oh, that's such a good question. I was thinking about that. I would have, if I knew this is what I was going to do in my life and this was going to be a big part of life, I would have taken music theory or conducting or business and marketing or things like that to help me with this. I'm L.Ed. major and none of those things really translate into this pursuit of music. So I wish I had had more training.
Well, I'm sure you're learning on the job for sure. And that you're just like that new ringer, you know, you learn by swimming and you're figuring it out. That's what I love about this. You've been figuring it out and you're not stopping.
And a lot, I've talked to other directors and we have training. Well, we are in the Area 11 Handbell Ringers of America Guild or something like that. Anyway, we have festivals and you can go to classes on different things about four-in hand ringing and bass ringing and bell tree, solo ringing, all the kinds of things and conducting and starting a choir and different classes like that. So I have gone to a few trainings and talked to other directors and different things to how are things going for you? How do you do this? What's your solution to this? And so there, you're not totally on your own, although I could do it however I want. It's my choir. I can do what I want.
It's my party. I can cry if I want to. It's my choir. Exactly. I can lead it how I want to.
Exactly.
So Paige, I'd love to know about the biggest benefit that this has brought to you in your life.
Besides just having more music in my life, I cannot live without music. I always have music on, classical, pop, whatever. And so to have this concentrated effort on music in my life is amazing. But it's more than that. It's about community. You cannot play bells by yourself. I guess you can. There are solo ringers that do it. It's not my skill. But the community and the people, you have to cooperate. That it's a collaborative instrument. The instrument is all of us together. It's not like a violin or a harp or whatever that you can take home and practice and learn your part by yourself. You have to learn it with everyone else and you have to rely on people. And we come together as a group. We support each other. We care about each other. We love each other. Some of my best friends I have met through ringing and bell choirs. And I think that to me is the biggest benefit.
Well, sign me up. I mean, this sounds so fun. And not to mention,
you need another hobby.
I mean, I feel like if I had, I was going to say, if I didn't have children, that I would have a million hobbies because all of them just sound so fun. But times and seasons, and maybe my hobby can be to attend your concert. So for people who are interested in your choir and even attending some of your concerts, where should they go?
Okay, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Timpanogos Ringers. We also have a website that it's timpanogosringers.org, but our website's under construction right now, so Facebook or Instagram, but we would love to hear from you if you have an event and you want a bell choir. I've always wanted to play at a wedding.
Ooh.
Or if you have a Christmas thing that you want to bring some bells to, or if you want to know about concerts or you want to come and join the choir, that is how you can reach out to us.
And if you're wealthy and you want to sponsor a handbell choir.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is right. If you would like, we'll put your name on a bell or all the bells. I'm here for that.
Someone's listening. This is going to happen.
There you go.
This has been so fun, Paige. I love learning about this. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. No one ever asks about how do you start this. They just say, come and play for us. So.
Well, I'm sure it's fun to kind of give your own how this is made. Like, you know, this is something that you've done and you started, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm glad it's working. Well done.
Thank you so much.